There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 880, April 12th. 2021, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say coming soon, Imola. And next year we may have, finally, Miami Beach Rumba. Now back to Mr. Rogers, the Tito Puente of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Red Bull convinced this is their year. Prost says no wins for Alonso. Allison steps down from Mercedes. Gary brings us more from inthepitlane.com, and just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. Anyone who donates $100 or more will receive the very rare F1 Weekly teacup and sticker. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Thank you, sir. I am doing good, but I would like to share my new season resolution. 3 weeks between round one and round two, no mass. But the wait is almost over. Grand Prix of Emilia-Romagna happening this weekend at Imola, a track with history and tragedy. The Enzo and Dino Ferrari Autodromo has the distinction of holding the only Italian Grand Prix that did not take place at Monza, and that was in 1980. The focus is at the front of the grid, as it should be, between the two Il Leones, one British and one hoping to deliver a Dutch treat to the Orange Army. This season, I think, is the first time Lewis is feeling the heat in the race since his Kablamo in Malaysia. I'm sure you remember that event. He still has the speed and Foxy Roxy strategy, as Max and Red Bull found out in Bahrain. But there is no doubt Max is the new wave. I won't call him punk rock, but he will rock the Mercedes Casper at Brackley one of these days. Sooner the better. Great season ahead of us. What will it be in the end? Number 8 or regime change? Stay tuned. Time will tell. And Mr. Rogers, question for you. Are you still blowing sandbagging conspiracy?
Absolutely. The sandbags have been piled up high at Mercedes, and these are not left over from World War II, if you know what I'm talking about. No, they're sandbagging, but now the problem is Honda is making the tough decision that they're going to turn the knob up a little bit. And if they turn the knob up, that means Mercedes has to turn the knob up. So it's basically the battle of, are we going to number 9 or are we going to number 10? It's a wonderful thing to watch. The only situation I see is whoever pushes the knob or turns the knob up the most has a chance of a Kablamo. And as you just pointed out, Lewis losing because of a Kablamo could hurt his gentle feelings.
Yes. Anyway, it's going to be a great season, just like we were hoping last year. If Max had won, he would have been the youngest world champion. If Lewis had won, which he did, he would be equaling Michael's number. So either way, it's acceptable. We just want a great race throughout the season. Great races throughout the season. But I was not sure what the connection was between World War II sandbags and Mercedes-Benz. But we can have another podcast for that. The other dogfight, or perhaps dingo fight, I should say, I am looking forward to is the intra-team rivalry at McLaren. After mostly flying below the radar by his lofty standards in his first two seasons in Formula One, Mr. Lando Norris came alive and kicking in the opening round, which really made me happy. I think the Honey Badger has a treat up his sleeve for his younger teammate. Both were in the points in the season opener, Lando 4th and Ricciardo 7th. I expect the trend to continue at Imola in terms of scoring points, but podium reach will depend on a couple of drivers visiting the DNF chapel at Imola. And we don't, I guess these present-day racing teams are not high on religious beliefs. We don't see many visits to the DNF chapel these days. Sir, what's your take on Lando versus Ricciardo?
Well, like you said, Lando is comfortable in the car. Ricciardo still learning the layout, calling his various buddies, trying to figure out where the brake pedal is. But once he figures it out, Lando is in for a big surprise.
The man who wrote the book on how to find the brake pedal is our favorite two-legged Rubinho, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, both red cars, Ferraris, were also in the points. Leclerc was 6th and Carlos Sainz Jr. 8th. According to Jacques Villeneuve, who's never shy with his opinion, speaking on his 50th birthday, the real danger to Leclerc is Carlito. Sainz Jr. did not really roll over for Max when they were at Toro Rosso. But then at the same time, something I noticed, he did not rattle Nico Hülkenberg's cage when they were teammates. But now with the biggest opportunity of his life and some experience, he may rise up to the challenge, and it will be a machismo moment when he becomes only the second Spanish driver to win a Formula One Grand Prix. Hey, Mr. Rogers, come to think of it, he may score his first win in Hungary if only Pirelli can come up with an expanding tire. What say you?
The expanding tire was completely legal and a godsend and gave us more excitement than we've seen in a long, long time. So let's bring on the expanding tire.
Cool. Once upon a time, the Eros team had a sponsor called Lost Boys. The team and sponsor are long gone from the Formula One paddock, but we are left with few broken arrows who are also lost boys. And let's take a look at them. Bottas, standing in the shadows of LCH, waiting for a podium finish. How sad it is for a very talented driver who beat Daniel Ricciardo in junior Formula and won GP3 championship in his rookie season to be in a championship-winning team. But the dream fades away like a rainbow on a rainy day in Helsinki when the engine is started on the other car, which is number 44. From Bottas, we go to Bastian, Sebastian Vettel that is. At least he got four championships before suffering a dingo bite at Red Bull. The Ferrari fever did not produce hot results. Team and driver were expecting, and so were fans, and I'm one of them. His walk like an Egyptian routine on the podium requires a champion-like drive, which sadly is more and more a distant memory. I just hope he can find a little of his mojo and we see him fighting at the front, if not for win, at least to get on the podium, and of course finishing the race, which has become a big challenge for him also lately. And as we all know, Mr. Rogers, A is for Ace of Oviedo, machismo man. None though. He reminds me of Nat King Cole's song, "Around the World I've Searched for You, I Carried On When Hope Was Gone."
Around the world I've searched for you, I travel on when hope was gone, to keep a rendezvous.
What he is looking for more than anything since 2006 is championship number 3. Hard to believe Hombre who shot down the Red Baron would not get another championship. This is one of the greatest motorsports mysteries for me. The final countdown from the Physio Costume Hay Championship by the Danube, and another was lost as he found a Russian cucumber on an Abu Dhabi road. But for some, he will remain unforgettable. Mr. Rogers, any compassion for these lost boys?
Unforgettable in every way. Absolutely none whatsoever. I have no compassion. And unfortunately, Fernando, as Prost said, will not see wins this season. He's just there for the laughs and the love.
Well, if he's not going to see a win this season, it's all because of the package he has. But I think it's going to get even more difficult next year when Mercedes is going to start a new era with a new era of domination. And I just have a feeling that this steamroller, whether it's a silver steamroller next year or a black steamroller, as long as LCH is driving for Mercedes, I think Toto and Lewis are in very good shape. What say you?
Yeah, I agree completely. And we'll see whether he signs a contract, but this is Lewis's season for sure. His last championship, his eighth championship. I believe he will be replaced next year. But in the end, I think everything is going to come down to reliability. Red Bull is fast. Mercedes is fast. The first kablamo is going to have the whole audience quiet.
I think it's pretty obvious at this stage, which is just only one race run, that if one of them has a DNF, the other is gaining, at least from that race, 25 points. And I think if these guys, as competitive as they are and the packages are pretty close too, it's going to happen. What happened between Charles Leclerc and Sebastian, what happened with Max Verstappen and Ricciardo, these two will clash sooner or later. And if it turns out one of them goes on to win the race and the other does not, and the cars being so reliable, if you lose 25 points, I mean, losing 25 points to Bottas and Rosberg and, you know, Sergio Perez, somebody with skills of Lewis and Max, they can overcome that. Let's not forget, Lewis, I think, overcame a 44-point deficit and built that into a 17-point lead, and then he had that kablamo in Malaysia. So, but to lose 25 points to Max Verstappen or to Lewis Hamilton, that is going to be a big, big ask. Do you agree, sir?
I do. I do. That's why I think this season, the DNF is the big thing. I am telling you, once those knobs start going towards 11, Honda and Mercedes, because they know Honda's got to, they want to do it this season because this is their last season, then it's some kind of Red Bull motor. So Honda's under pressure, and the people in Tokyo would love to see a win. I mean, a championship, Constructors' Championship. So I'm pretty pumped up. Honda is excited, and they're going to turn that knob when in the past they would never do that. It would be wrong and uncouth. So it's the turning of the knobs this season, I'm positive.
That's good. And in terms of surprises, where do you think a surprise may come? Tsunoda, Sergio Perez, Lance Stroll, or something else?
I think Lance Stroll and Perez. Everybody else is sleeping.
No, I expect some fireworks from him. And I would like to see how close Sergio can get, both in qualifying and in the race. I definitely want to see a clean race in terms of pace of Sergio and Max, see where they are. And if he's like within 0.2 of Max, that's very, very good for Max and Sergio and Red Bull also. But we will find out on Sunday. Okay, sir. Now we come to money matters. You know, the teams were showing all sorts of concerns about the sprint races, three sprint races F1 is trying to do this year. And like somebody once said to me, you know, all problems go away when you throw enough money at it. So apparently, according to RTL, which is the German network that used to carry Formula One in Germany, they are reporting that F1 has agreed, and it will be made official, that they will pay up to like $500,000 to each team per sprint race. And there will be three sprint races, starting with Silverstone. I believe the three are Silverstone, Canada, and Monza. And talking of Canada, I just heard a late sort of a reportage that they may have be having some financial issues, especially if no fans are allowed. And apparently the issue is to the tune of $6 million. So according to Le Meilleur of Montreal, they would like to talk to the provincial government and the federal government to come and help save the Grand Prix. I would like to see this race happen. You know, it's a nice track. We'll see what happens. But most likely, unfortunately, no spectators, which is not good. Okay, sir, this is, now we go move on to some very good news for race fans in North America, especially here in the USFA. After years of wrangling over plans to add a second American round on the Formula One circuit, things are looking very rosy as Miami Gardens Mayor Rodney Harris, who was previously opposed to the scheme, is now supporting it. The Miami Herald is reporting that Harris has given his backing to a joint resolution with the event promoters aimed at addressing residents' concerns over noise, pollution, and other disruption the race may cause. So apparently they're going to invest some money in the local community there, make things happen. You know, when the Long Beach Grand Prix was first being proposed, we had the same issues, especially from retirees. So some of these retirees were given a vacation to, all expenses paid vacation to Catalina Island. So when you put some money in somebody's wallet or arms or purse, I mean, you hear, see very quickly. Ain't that the truth, Mr. Rogers?
I read that book. It's very, very good.
I understand you are the author of that book.
I am.
That's good. I will be very happy if we have a Formula One race in Miami. I think this is one of the top two places to hold a F1 race here, the other being, of course, California. You know what I was thinking? I mean, this is never going to happen now that an American company owns the commercial rights. I was thinking what they should do, start the season in January in Miami and end the season in California in Long Beach or San Diego. So the Formula One season starts in America, ends in America, and in between they can throw whatever they want, Azerbaijan, Australia, Zimbabwe. But that will be quite a thing. And I am still hopeful, especially with Mr. Penske owning the Brickyard, that we may have a Formula One race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Would you, what you call dig, would you dig three races in the U.S.?
I think three is pushing the envelope, Nasser. Somebody is going to have a cow somewhere. So two is great. Three is too much.
Yeah, but you know, the one place I don't want to see a Formula One race is Las Vegas, because they're chasing this destination city. Go to a place where there is interest. Miami will have a huge crowd, no question about it. And so will California. But we shall see. But I will not be surprised if the mayor is on your side and they can throw some money to make people happy. I think that will work out. Now, sir, we move on to moving up at Mercedes, something that you alluded to at the start. Mercedes technical director, James Ellison. You know, I met him in Abu Dhabi a couple of years ago. Very friendly guy. And that's the beauty of motor racing, you know. When you meet racing people, whether they are technical chiefs or head honchos or four-time world champion, they all have at least some time for you. And they talk, you know, your language, so which I enjoy very much. And of course, to see 2 years of life go without Formula One, going to a Formula One race is definitely hurting my feelings. But anyway, the new James Ellison will move into the role of Chief CTO, Chief Technical Officer, in July. And he will be replaced by a chap by the name of Mike Elliott, who is only 46 years old and has over two decades of experience in Formula One at Mercedes, Renault, and McLaren. So this is good. And you know, there have been some changes at Mercedes. The more things change, the more they remain the same. They keep winning. The gentleman, Andy Cowell, who was the main engine designer of the Mercedes V6 Turbo, which is cleaning everybody's clock, left the team in January. And there were reports that he may go to Red Bull, but according to Christian Horner, that's not happening. But that's at the time he said that. And like he has said in the past, when they do something else, oh, time and circumstances have changed. So I will not be surprised, especially with Red Bull taking over the Honda engine project, that Andy Cowell lands there in due course of time. And they are based in Milton Keynes, which is pretty much the European headquarters or base of the F1 Weekly European Support Vehicle, which we appreciate very much always. Okay, and so the Mr. Andy Cowell, he was replaced by a chap named Hywel Thomas. Now, I'm surprised you didn't mention this. Nico in Nick of Time, Nico Hülkenberg, famous for not having a podium in many, many years and years of racing, is now the official reserve and development driver for Aston Martin this year, continuing his long association with the team. And I was thinking, you know, 5 or 6, 7 races into the season, if Sebastian Vettel is really does not get his mojo back, he should leave, because that will open a seat for Nico Hülkenberg. And Sebastian has made all the money he can and achieved all he could. That might be a good sort of a gesture for his compadre. What do you think, sir?
I totally agree. I'd much rather see Hülkenberg in there right now. Vettel has some issues. I think his mojo has been cut out, and he's lost what made him hungry when he was younger. You know, he's an older guy. He's married. He's got kids. He's got better things to do. And now Vettel has actually had training in organic farming.
Yeah, maybe he and Naren Karthikeyan could start a cucumber farm in Calcutta.
That's a really good idea. Because, you know, a healthy Karthikeyan is a safe Karthikeyan.
Yeah, and nothing like local expertise.
Totally.
Okay, sir. Now we move to Amazon Prime Delivery for Charles Leclerc. This was beautiful. Scuderia Ferrari has presented Charles Leclerc with the very chassis he used to score his first Grand Prix victories. And both came at beautiful places, Spa and Monza. Do you remember his victory at Monza when he was taking selfies and pictures of the crowd and how happy and delighted he was?
Yes, I was delighted. You were delighted. We were all delighted.
Absolutely. I mean, how would you feel if there's a, you know, auto transporter in front of your driveway and they open and there is Nando's 2005 Mile 7 Renault and with a note from Flavio, "Bravo, bravo, Clark."
I would change my pants.
Yo, that's good. That's good. Okay, sir. Jonathan Palmer, he has acquired, Donington Park Circuit. He also owns Brands Hatch, Alton Park, Snetterton, a place called Cadwell Park in the Bedford Autodrome. He also bought, like I said, Donington Park Circuit. What he has done, there are some buildings there. One of them is a place called Hastings House, which used to be the head office of British Midland Airways. And he's bought those properties, a couple of them, and he's going to turn that into what he's calling the Donington Hall Motor House. It will be a 45,000 square feet stabling facility for supercars, race car, old classic and motorcycles. And it is due to open in autumn this year. And you know, the interesting thing is, it's going to build a road that will go straight through the track. And I've been there with the members of our F1 Weekly Familia. It's a beautiful track. They used to have a museum that is no longer there. But I look forward to visiting this place soon. But at the same time, Dr. Jonathan Palmer is a wee bit pissed off because there is a government decree in England that is forbidding spectators from attending races, and while they're allowing other outdoor activities. But hopefully, you know, all of this will end. I've been saying sooner than later, but we'll see when it happens. So we'll see how it goes. Okay, your favorite. Remember that hipster? You called him hipster Marco Mattiacci?
My buddy, yeah.
Yeah, apparently he is good friends with Lawrence Stroll, and he may join the Aston Martin team as a consultant. So maybe that will bring some smile on Sebastian Vettel's face, we'll see. But it'll be nice to see him back in motor racing because he was at Ferrari for a very short time. So we'll see what he can do. But I think is Lawrence Stroll, he's just bringing too many heavy hitters into that team. They just need to get going a little bit fast. And then I think if Sebastian has the mojo, my question is, if it doesn't work out with Sebastian, is he going to bring in Alonso at Aston Martin?
No.
You sure?
Positive.
Okay. We'll see. Okay, now going back to the issue of Canada, apparently they have not refunded money from the 2020 event, so a lot of people are pissed off, and some of them are from the United States. So, you know what happens when you piss off an American guy? Here comes a lawsuit. So, we'll see what happens. And I remember, do you remember there was a threat of a lawsuit against Michelin also when we had the 2005 fiasco at Indy?
Yes, I do. We got free tickets.
Yeah, we got free tickets, and they also agreed to buy like 25,000 tickets in addition to reimbursing everybody. So that was handled very quickly and very nicely. That's much better than paying $3.2 billion in lawsuit and attorney fees and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Okay, now we come to, or shall we save this for Motorsports Mondial?
Yes, why don't we take a quick break and hear from Gary Sloan.
Hello, listeners. My name's Gary Sloan, and this is this week's edition of In the Pit Lane. So news broke last week that Lawrence Stroll was selling his Canadian racetrack, Le Circuit Mont-Tremblant. Stroll's owned the circuit, which hosted the Canadian Grand Prix in 1968 and 1970 since the year 2000. He's invested in the 2.65-mile circuit, including a new timing tower and enhanced medical facilities, valuing the venue at over $10 million. The sale comes on the back of selling his South Florida penthouse, previously owned by Oprah Winfrey, for $20 million. Also, citing a conflict of interest with his Aston Martin shareholding, he's in the process of selling his $220 million collection of vintage Ferraris. Back in August 2020, several credible sources in the yachting world said Stroll's $200 million super yacht Faith had been sold to no other than one Michael Latifi. So the question is Lawrence Stroll cash strapped? Well, an individual's net worth can indeed be tied up in assets and not cash, as pleaded by ex-Formula One team owner, billionaire Sir Richard Branson. Branson faced criticism when at the start of the pandemic he asked for taxpayers' help for his Virgin Atlantic airline. He responded with, "I've seen lots of comments about my net worth, but that is calculated in the value of Virgin businesses around the world before this crisis, not sitting as cash in a bank account ready to withdraw." Well, Branson does have a net worth of $4.2 billion, but he also has $600 million in cash outside his Virgin brands. In Stroll's case, there are substantial assets, which include homes in Geneva, London, Quebec, and the Caribbean island of Mustique. His net worth today stands at $3.2 billion. That's up $1.4 billion since 2012. So the selling of some of his physical assets is probably not because he needs the money. Stroll and the word consortium go hand in hand, and like Branson, he's an expert in using other people's money. Branson's Formula One team was funded by Russian sports car manufacturer Marussia, and his Formula E team by Chinese wind power company Envision Energy, and both deals substantially reduced his financial exposure. Although Stroll's U3 consortium ploughed £128 million into Aston Martin, an additional £500 million was raised by existing investors, including fellow billionaire Juan Albelio. But of course, this subsequently was not sufficient, and last October, Stroll refinanced the company with a $1.3 billion package. But this has left Stroll with $1 billion of debt sitting on his balance sheet, and the Times newspaper estimates an average interest rate of an eye-watering 16%. So facing the huge challenge of both the Formula One team, and particularly the car company, Stroll is in all probability selling his toys so that he can remain totally focused with no external distractions. For now, gone will be the partying witnessed by his lavish 60th birthday party at Villa Lysis in Capri with 250 guests back in 2019. A distant memory will be last year's wedding to long-term girlfriend Raquel Denise, in which she took over the whole island of Mustique for 3 days. 300 guests were flown in, with the select few staying at his $100 million house, ironically called the Great House. No, Stroll realises that his reputation and indeed legacy rests on the success of his Formula One team and the Aston Martin car company. Both require his absolute attention. He may have the Midas touch, but helping him to focus will no doubt be the memories of his $100 million loss he and business partner Silas Chow suffered in their investment in the Aspen jewellery business well over 20 years ago. Well, that's it for another week. Until next week, stay safe, stay well.
Gary, thanks again. Checks in the mail. And now, let's hear some quick messages.
Hi, this is Mika Häkkinen, double Formula One world champion. All the best for the readers, F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir, and we shall start with there has to be some single-seater racing every weekend. And we were not disappointed as Formula Deliverance, also known as Formula E, because of sound of these cars squealing like a pig. And we had the race on Sunday that was won by Mr. Stoffel Van Dorn. Remember him?
Yep. A lot of tears in those eyes.
You know, that guy was amazing. You know, he won anything and everything and came into Formula One with that wonderful McLaren Honda project and then scored a point on his debut and then shot through the heart. You're to blame. Alonso took his Brussels sprout and waffle and everything. And he's now in Formula E. Did you watch any of the action? By the way, they were racing in Roma, also known as Rome. Did you watch any of the action on YouTube or TV?
I saw some of the action, but I don't like Formula E. I don't like the sound. I don't like anything about it, Nasser, because I'm bitter and old.
Well, you know, something is better than nothing.
It's very true, Nasser.
Okay, now they are trying to do a lot of things in Formula One. One of them is salary cap. And apparently the idea is to have a cap of $30 million, which I thought makes sense. But then I read into it and it's $30 million for both drivers plus reserve drivers, which is kind of strange given the history of Formula One. But, you know, like Christian Horner says, time and circumstances change. But bonuses and personal image rights would be excluded. And apparently Lewis is making like $45 million a year with Mercedes, so that's not a bad payday. And some very, very exciting MotoGP news. I'm really looking forward to it. Mark Marquez, a legend in his own lifetime, will be back in action in Portimao for the Portuguese MotoGP. This is very good news, as this hombre is the real super deal. In his absence, a lot of riders won races, which is good for them and the sport. Let's hope Mark still has his mojo upon return to MotoGP. So this would be like if you take Lewis Hamilton out of Formula One. First of all, we're going to have Bottas as world champion. Then a lot of people will win races. And Mark Marquez is of that caliber. I really like this racer. Okay, sir. Romain Grosjean's off Wiedersehen to F1 getting close to reality. He was at Mercedes getting a seat fitting done. And it's very classy of Toto Wolff and Mercedes to offer him a ride because, you know, of his big accident, so he could have a decent send-off from Formula One. And I am sure once he drives that Mercedes, he's going to be like, I have never driven such a nice car. And then he will realize he could have been a contender had he been nice to Suzy Wolff. But that's, you know, did not happen, so we move on. Okay, sir, now we come to boys and girls at the Brickyard. The big show is next month at Indy. Testing took place last week, and Penske pilot and man from Tennessee, Joseph Newgarden, set the fastest time with a speed of 226.819 miles per hour. Now, that is pretty impressive. Sato-san was second, and third was everybody's favorite, our man Monty, who is a two-time winner, just like Sato-san. Newgarden has two IndyCar championships with Penske, and he's on it for his first Indy 500 victory. That'll be a very popular victory for him because he's a complete poster child, not just for Roger Penske team, but also as an American racing driver, and a good American racing driver, I might add. Okay, Mr. Roger, amazing but true. You remember Lewis Hamilton making his GP2 debut, as we call it, Hapidos, in 2006, when he came from European Formula 3 and then won the championship in his first season to move into Formula 1. Had a great race in Turkey where he came from behind and passed a lot of drivers and had that incredible pass on a couple of drivers at Silverstone. Great moments from his GP2 career. But sir, 15 years ago, during the 2006 season of GP2, at the very first race, the winner in Valencia from pole position and ahead of Lewis Hamilton was Mr. Nelson Piquet Jr. How different the roads taken by these two drivers have been. One went north all the way to Milky Way. The other went south all the way to Martinsville truck race. One can say his career hit the wall. No Singaporean pun intended. And that was Zinger of the Die. What else would you like to talk about, Mr. Rogers?
Not very much, Nas, except that we have a race this weekend, and it's either going to be Max or your buddy.
Yuki Tsunoda?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. He's going to win, make me look like a crazy man. Ricciardo is going to be frustrated, and Vettel will finish 15th.
Oh, you're being kind to him. Will he finish the race? That's the big question for him.
That is a big question, Nasser. So I'm giving Vettel 15th, I'm giving Fernando 7th, and I'm giving number 1 to LCH.
Oh, you're so kind, Mr. Rogers. LCH will appreciate that.
Well, I'm doing that because I heard he likes the podcast.
Oh, that's even better.
Totally.
You know, talking of liking the podcast, a few months ago I was just going through some old stuff. And you know, when we did an interview with Max Verstappen in Vegas when he came for the Scusa karting? He put it on his social media. That was very kind of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a nice guy, you know. A real sweetheart.
His father thinks that he can win at Imola.
His father thinks he's winning the championship this year.
Well, he has what it takes. I mean, there's no... It'll be fantastic if he wins. You know, he'll be the first Dutch world champion. It will bring an end to the Mercedes steamroller. It will be quite an achievement. It will be in the same league as... Alonso toppling the Ferrari dream team.
Exciting, 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 Nas. Keep up the good work. I want to thank everybody who listens. We'll see you at the veggie stand.
Thank you. Bye-bye.